Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 135, verse 1. Psalm chapter 135, verse 1. Amen. Good to see some new musicians. Malachi up here playing the keyboard. Were you playing the steel drum then as well? Someone was playing a steel drum. It sounded like Jamaica to me. Psalm 135 and verse 1. Amen. Psalm 135 and verse 1. Have you got it in your Bibles there? Amen. Well, it's glad to see more people in church. There were still some vacant seats, so if you missed out on church, it was by your own choice today. Those joining online, you could have been here. There are seats available for you in church. Praise God. We can all be back. You know, if we hadn't gone to two services, if we think about how many people we had in 9:15 and how many people we have in this service, plus the kids we've got over in Sunday school, we would have not have fitted in church today. That goes to show that our church has continued to grow over the last 12 months, and we thank God for that, because God is not limited. God is not limited, and even through the most difficult times, God is faithful to us. Amen? And people are still finding Jesus, even in this day. Even when the church was closed, people were still finding hope in Jesus Christ. Psalm 135 and verse 1. We did this in 9:15. We'll do it again. It's a little bit old school, but let's read together. King James is up there, so we might all have to read from the same version. Psalm 135 verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord." Everybody say, "I'm a servant." We're a servant of the Lord. He's the King. I'm a servant. Verse 2, let's keep reading together. "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God." Verse 3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." Let's read verse 3 again. "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." Praise ye the Lord. Amen. I want to speak today, very, very simple topic, but I want to speak on this title. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. Can you say it with me? It's time to praise the Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we're able to gather today. And Lord, as now we go to your word, Lord God, we ask you to speak to us. Lord, let our hearts be soft to receive and to learn from your word today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. You see, the Bible speaks a lot about fragrances and smells and aromas. And it just happens today, Brother Jim, that Brother Jim grows lots of garlic, and I saw that he bought a few bags of garlic for some of his friends. And I told somebody as they walked in with their little bag of garlic, I said, "You better be careful, open that. Everyone in church will smell the garlic." And I said, I just happened to be talking about fragrances and aromas. And there's nothing like coming home from work, and I open up the car door, and I can smell what's cooking, you know. When you smell the roast or spaghetti bolognese, for me, when you smell it cooking, it kind of just draws you into the house, you know. You go in, your nose just a little bit up, like, what's for dinner? Smells good. Or when you're out in the garden and you smell lunch cooking, you know it's time to come inside, because there's something about a fragrance that draws us. Young boys know that, you know. I got a 12-year-old now who absolutely drowns himself in deodorant, you know. He's like, shh, 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 and then he's like, shh, shh. Anyone else got a teenager that does that? Yeah, a few hands, crazy. I'm like, I go in there, I got to put a gas mask on. I'm like, are you in there through that fog? I don't know what he's thinking, whether he stinks or whether he thinks that maybe if he wears it, maybe the girls would be a bit more interested in him. I don't know. You have to let me know later, Lachlan. But we know that smell's important. No girl's going to fall in love with a guy who stinks. All right? And vice versa. But in the Bible, smell and fragrance are used all through the scriptures. It is a very, very important part. Smell and fragrance and aroma, and all those things are an important part of the Bible. From the aromas that went up from the incense on the table of incense in the tabernacle, the incense was burnt and it sent a fragrance up. That was in the Old Testament, right through the New Testament, when they took the fragrances to anoint Jesus' body and prepare his body for burial. We see fragrances all through the Bible. The incense in the Bible was associated with the people's prayers. When we pray, we're sending up incense to God. In the tabernacle, there was even a special recipe for the fragrances. There was a special recipe for the aroma. It had to be a mixture of 5 exotic spices. And God said, this is the way the fragrance should be made. And God explicitly gave commands. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15, it says, our lives, your and my life, Corinthians tells us, are a Christ-like fragrance. The way we live sends an incense or sends an aroma to God. He is pleased with us. And just like the smell of mum's cooking or my wife's cooking draws me in to the house, when we live a godly lifestyle, Corinthians says that our life is like a fragrance. It gets God's attention. When the wise men came at Jesus' birth, they brought him gold. That's not a fragrance, but frankincense and myrrh are fragrances. And they brought that to Jesus, those scented oils. But not all the fragrances in the Bible were positive. There was also the negative of a fragrance, because the Bible describes the sins of Israel as a stench in God's nostrils. So as much as a godly lifestyle is a beautiful fragrance to God, an ungodly lifestyle is a stench. And then we read about Mary and the alabaster box. She came and broke the alabaster box and took that fragrant oil to anoint the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine the fragrance and the smell that filled the room? You see, the Bible from Genesis right through to Revelation, in fact, somebody did a count, there are more than 200 references to smell, to odor, to perfume, to fragrances, to incense. It's all through the Bible. And so, Pastor, why are you talking about fragrances and incense and aromas? Let me tell you, we have an opportunity. You and I, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to send up a sweet-smelling fragrance to God today and every single day of our life. Not just in the way we live, but in the way we praise God with our mouth and with our praise and our worship. Because we can send up that sweet-smelling fragrance into God's nostrils. And you know what? Just like the smell of cooking draws us into a house and we want to stay there, when we begin to praise God, the Bible says that God comes and inhabits the praises of His people. God is attracted to us when we praise Him and when we worship Him. And you say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? You know, how do we get God's attention? Do we send up a praise? Everyone say praise. It's time to praise the Lord. And wherever you're at today, I want to tell you, it's time to praise the Lord. Maybe you've been away from God a long time. I want to tell you, it's time to praise the Lord. And somebody say amen. You say, oh, Pastor, it's 2020. Didn't you know it's 2020? Nobody feels like singing. Nobody feels like praising God. It's 2020. You know, maybe you say, well, Pastor, I got nothing to praise God for today. Or you say, I'm going through a hard time. Things are difficult right now. How can I praise God? Or maybe you just say, well, you know what? I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it. It's 2020. I've been weighed down with a lot of things. And funny that David had the exact same feelings. In fact, David felt forsaken by God. He felt like God had left him. He felt like God had left him alone, that God wasn't hearing his prayers. You know, it felt like we do sometimes. It feels like our praise and our prayers are just bouncing off the roof. Look at what David said in Psalm 22 verse 1. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? God, I'm crying out to you. I'm roaring out to you. God, why is it that it doesn't seem like you can hear me? It doesn't seem like you're helping me. It feels like you've forsaken me. Then he goes a little bit further. He says, oh my God, I cry in the daytime and thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. It feels, God, I'm crying out to you all day. It feels like you are far from me. Have you left me, God? Have you forsaken me? Do you care about me? Can't you see, God, what I'm facing? I think we can relate to some of those things, can't we? That there are seasons in life when we can feel just the way that David did. And you know what? The last thing on our mind is to praise God or to sing a song or to give worship to God. But look at David. Then he uses this three-letter word in verse 3, but. Everyone say but. That's a nice word. It can be a bad word, but it's a nice word. When my mom and dad say, you were going to be grounded for a week, but. I'm like, oh, there's hope. You were going to get a smack, but. I'm like, phew. The but was a good but. And David uses that but. After all he's been through, after all his feeling, after all of his trials, after all his difficulties, he says, but. In the midst of all that I'm going through, in the midst of all of my trials, in the midst of all this difficult, you are holy God. I'm going to praise you anyway. I'm going to give you worship. You are holy. You inhabit the praises of your people. You see, even though I'm not feeling it, I'm going to praise God anyway. Even though it's a difficult season, I'm going to praise God anyway. Let me tell you, David knew a few things about praise and worship. And I've come here today, and I'm sorry I'm making a terrible racket up here, but I want to tell you it's time to praise the Lord. Because I've learned that there are seasons in life, and there are difficulties, and sometimes you're just not feeling it. But I've learned that I can praise God, and when I begin to praise God, things begin to change. Things begin to change. You see, David knew a few things about praise and worship. He wrote a whole book called Psalms. Psalms chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Let's read it in our Bibles. You can turn there, please. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. If I'm losing my voice, it's not COVID. It's just that I already preached one service. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hath set thy glory above the heavens. Then look at this, and you're gonna have to concentrate now, because I'm going to show you something. It says this in verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Everyone say strength. David says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. There's a difference. He's talking about little kids, toddlers, and then he says even sucklings, babies that are still reliant on their mother's milk. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies. In other words, David's saying there's something that comes out of our mouth that gives us strength in the face of our enemies. There is something that comes out of our mouth that gives us strength in the face of our enemies. It says that thou mightest still. Everyone say still. That's an old-fashioned word for stop. That's an old word that means silence. So there is something that comes out of our mouth that can still and silence the enemy and the avenger. And where does it come out of? Our mouth. Everyone say my mouth. And you know what? It's something that comes out of our mouth, and it's so easy that even a baby can do it. Even a suckling can do it. Even a little child can do it. It is so easy. It comes out of our mouth and it gives us strength, and it stops and it silences the enemy. And so David learned a very important principle that helped him get strength through his trials. And believe me, he went through some trials and he found a strength that was able to silence and still his enemies. And you know what? It was something so simple that even a child could do it. And the devil will come against us. The devil will come, the avenger, the enemy will come. The Bible says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Lord has given us one weapon. Everyone say a weapon. He's given us one weapon. And if we will use this weapon, we can stand strong. We can stop. We can still. We can silence the enemy with this weapon. Every time the enemy comes, we can use this. Because it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. You say, well, Pastor, it doesn't say anything about praise. It doesn't say anything about worship. What is that thing that comes out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? Now, you could look up a Bible dictionary, I guess, but one of the best ways to understand the Bible is to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Use Scripture to interpret Scripture. Now, Jesus referred to this same concept. When he was making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and we know that they lined the streets right there 1 week before he died on the cross. They lined the streets and they came and they laid down their palm leaves on the road as Jesus went through on the donkey, and they began to praise Jesus. As they realized who he was, they began to enthusiastically praise him. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they're waving their palm branches and they're putting them down on the ground as he went through. And look, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 21. Because this tells us what David was speaking about. That thing that comes out of the mouth. It says, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, that is Jesus, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So the scribes and the chief priests, they became upset with all the noise of praise and said unto him, they said to Jesus, can you hear what everybody's saying? Can you see what everybody's doing? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. There it is again. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. And so we look at this. We notice that David also said, out of the mouth and babes and sucklings. But he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. But now Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. So what was Jesus doing? Was Jesus misquoting David? Was he giving a misquotation? No. What Jesus was doing, he was interpreting the scripture. He was explaining what David had already said. He was explaining the truth that David had discovered, that there, and listen to me carefully right now, that there is supernatural strength. There is supernatural power, that we have a weapon when we begin to praise God with our mouth. That the enemy can be still, the enemy can be silent, that we can be victorious when we use our mouth to praise God. And so I've come to remind somebody today, it's time to praise the Lord. And it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter who you are, it's time to praise the Lord. You see, Pastor, this is a simple thing, man. We come to church to learn about praise and worship. Let me tell you, it's a powerful thing when we learn about praise and worship. Sometimes we overcomplicate the Word of God and we overcomplicate living for God. And sometimes we think we need a theological degree to be able to live for God. But you know, so much of the Word of God and living for God is so simple. You can have power when you praise God. Oh, how do I praise God? Well, why ask such a silly question? It's so simple. Even a baby and a suckling can do it. Out of the mouth of babes, thou hast perfected praise. Praise accomplishes what we cannot accomplish. And when you're down, when you're having a little pity party and you're chucking a tantrum and you're going through a trial, the devil expects you to sit there and go, poor old me. You know what? I haven't got a song to sing. I don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like going to church. And we give everyone else the silent treatment and we give God the silent treatment and all that. And the enemy goes, you know what? He's doing just what I wanted him to do. But when we go through a trial and we say, you know what? I'm going through a difficult time, but it's not going to stop me praising God. It's not going to stop me speaking forth the praises of Him. It's not going to stop my song. It's not going to stop my dance. It's not going to stop me lifting my hands. It's not going to stop me clapping my hands. I come to remind you today, it's time to praise the Lord. You see what praise does? Praise is a simple act, yes. It's simple, so simple that a baby can do it. But praise is a powerful act because it connects with a God that is much greater than we are. It connects us with a God who is bigger than us. Praise accomplishes what we cannot accomplish. Why? Because when we praise, it launches spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons. And those weapons, David says, demolish the strength of the enemy. It stills the enemy. It silences the enemy. And so David learned through his life, and I've learned as well. Sometimes it takes a little while for me to get it. But I've learned that as long as I'm praising God, that the situation involving my enemies can be turned around. That when I feel like I'm under attack, that when I begin to praise God, the enemy is stilled and the enemy is silenced. When I feel like I don't have the victory, when I begin to praise God, you know what? Sometimes I know I'm the pastor. I'm meant to be perfect and not have any problems and all those sort of things, but that's not true. Sometimes I come into church and it feels like I got the weight of the world on my shoulders. Sometimes I'm just not feeling it either, but I come into church and I get down in that front row seat, and as the music begins to start, you know, I maybe start praise, but when I begin to lift my hands and praise God, you know what? It feels like all that weight just lifts off. I begin to feel like I'm more than a conqueror. I can make it. I can do this. When I begin to praise God, it's like the enemy just leaves me alone because there is power in praise. And wherever you are today, my message is simple. It's time to praise the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. You see, I believe that there is a spiritual realm, and I believe that everything that happens, everything that is visible and physical, you can see and touch, everything in the visible and physical is preceded by something in the spiritual. Is preceded by something in the spiritual. So if you want to change something in the physical, you can do that by working in the spiritual. You see, healing is a physical thing, but prayer is a spiritual thing. And prayer changes the physical. And so everything in the physical is impacted by the spiritual. The spiritual impacts the physical. This is the essence of spiritual warfare. We war in the spirit to change things in the physical. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not flesh and blood. They are not physical things, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And David learned something very important, that in desperate situations in life, and listen to me because you'll go through those times, that in desperate situations in our life, we need to become like a child. I know some of you, when it's desperate, yeah, you become like a child. You chuck a tantrum. Doesn't matter how old you are. I'm not going to ask anyone to put up their hand. But I know even adults still throw tantrums. You give people the silent treatment. Give God the silent treatment. Yeah, it's good. The Bible says, unless we become like a child. I'm not talking about throwing tantrums. I'm talking about just the simpleness of praise. Having childlike faith to say, you know what? I can't understand this situation. I can't understand this mess that I'm in right now. But I do know one thing, that God hasn't changed and He's still worthy of the praise. He's still mighty. He's still glorious. He's still good. And so I'm just going to be simple. I'm just going to begin to praise God. And you know what? A lot of times we go to work and we get in the car and the first thing we do is we put on the news. Some of us have got to stop putting on the news in the morning and start putting on some praise. Start bringing in the presence of God into your situation, because the Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. There are a lot of wise and prudent people that don't understand a lot of things that are spiritual. You don't have to be wise and prudent necessarily to understand spiritual things. Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The power of praise and worship. Psalm 149 verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And then it makes a link. And a two-edged sword in their hand. When you praise God, it's like you've got a two-edged sword in your hand because there is power in praise. You see, the Bible is full of praise and worship. From the beginning to the end, we were created to praise God. The Bible says if we don't praise God, what will happen? Even the rocks will begin to cry out. And so the Bible is full of praise and worship. And I know sometimes people come into church, they see us praising God, clapping our hands and dancing, and they think these people are crazy. And sometimes we feel like we've got to apologize. Oh, we're sorry that we're so exuberant about our worship. But you know what? If you went down to the stadium, you'll find people worshiping something different. And they'll be doing it exuberantly. Footballers, for instance. They go out there and they worship their players that are on the field. And you know what they're doing? My mom used to say, a bunch of grown men running around chasing a bag of wind. And everyone's going crazy. Wah! And then we think that when we come to church and sing and dance and raise our hands, oh, I'm so sorry if I offended you, you know. We're just a bit crazy here. I'm sorry that we're so exuberant. You know, we ought not to apologize at all. In fact, when I read the Bible and see all the commands to praise and worship, we should be apologizing that we're not more exuberant. Because we're not just worshiping some guy that's kicking a ball around. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He spoke the earth into existence, and he is worthy of all of our praise. You know, once I was at the football, and I remember the Canberra Raiders scored, and I went crazy, and I sat down. I was so excited, and I thought, God forbid that I'd get so excited about them scoring a try and I can't even get excited at church. So it was a challenge to me because we ought to praise him even more. It ought not to become ordinary. You see, I don't apologize for our exuberance in worship. We should be apologizing that we're not more exuberant. And you know, some people say to me, oh, Pastor, I'm not the emotional type. Oh, yes, you are. I'm not the emotional type. Well, you take them to the football, you see how emotional they are. You see them when they fall in love. They know what it's like to be emotional. Men say, oh, I'm not the emotional type. Well, they're saying, I don't like to sing. But when you see them with their wife, they're quite emotional. Darling, my heart melts around you. When they're trying to get in the good books, you see how emotional they are. You see the realities. We say, I'm not emotional. But yes, we are. We're emotional about the things that we care about. And there's nothing wrong with being emotional in the presence of God because he is worthy of all the praise. And there's only one type of person that is exempt from praising God. There's only one person that's exempt from praising God. You wonder who that is? There's only one person that's exempt. Psalm 115 verse 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord. The dead. So the only people that ought not, that can't praise the Lord and that are exempt from praising the Lord are the dead. And so when we come to church, we ought to praise God. Whether it's a clap on our hands, whether a tap on our feet or singing or raising our hands or dancing, we ought to all be praising God. I don't want to be a dead person not praising God. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down in silence. And so Psalms is all about praise. We don't want to be dead. Nobody wants to be dead, amen? Amen. We don't want the rocks to cry out. We don't want to be dead. We're going to praise God. We're going to lift up our voice. We're going to clap our hands and raise our hands. It's time to praise the Lord. And so Psalms has 150 chapters, and it's about praise. It's about worship in whatever situation, whatever season. And as we get to the end of the book of Psalms, we see this crescendo. It's rising. It's coming to a climax of praise and worship. We go to, and you can turn there in your Bibles and check it out for yourself. We go to Psalm 146 as we're getting to the end of the Psalms. And we see Psalm 146. It begins with these words, "Praise ye the Lord." And then Psalm 146 ends with these words, "Praise ye the Lord." Then we go to Psalm 147 and it begins with these words, "Praise ye the Lord." And Psalm 147 ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." Then we go to Psalm 148. It begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." And we get to the end of Psalm 148 and it says at the beginning and the end, "Praise ye the Lord." We get to Psalm 149 and it begins with, "Praise ye the Lord." And it ends with, that's right, I'm not tricking you. It ends with, "Praise ye the Lord." And then we get to the last chapter of the book of Psalms and it's like a crescendo. It's like the orchestra is in full sound. Every verse is about praise the Lord. "Praise ye the Lord." Verse 1 of 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him." Can you hear it? "Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance." Are you getting it today? "Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord." Let everything that has breath, and let us just praise God for just a moment right now. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. We're going to praise you, God. As long as there's breath in my lungs, I want to praise you. I'm going to clap my hands. I praise you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul and Silas in Acts 16, they were beaten, they had been arrested, they were in prison. And what did they do? At the midnight hour, at the darkest hour of their day, they began to praise God. And what happened? One preacher said, Paul and Silas made the jailhouse rock before Elvis did. The jailhouse rocked and the door swung open and they were delivered from their chains and their bonds. Why? Because there's power in praise. That's why I'm preaching today. It's time to praise the Lord. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, it's time to praise the Lord. You'd think Paul and Silas, the last thing they would do is sing, but they praise God, and praise unleashed the mighty power of God. As I close, we read about Job. Job's known for one thing, trials and difficulties. It was a tough life. For those of you who think that Job's whole life was a mess, if you study the dates, Job, yes, he was a wealthy man at the beginning, and he went for a period of 2 years where he went through a tremendous difficult time. So much so that his wife even said, "Curse God and die." 2 years. Everyone say 2 years. The Bible says at the end of all of that, that Job was more blessed. And so I guess we could say that there was a period of time when it seemed like Job's life fell apart. And it seemed like for Job that God was silent. But Job still found a reason. And he still found reasons to praise God. Can anyone say amen? He still found a reason. And wherever you are, whatever you're going through, you can still find a reason to praise God. Your life can't be so bad that you can't find one reason to praise God. You know what praise does? Praise zooms us out from our problems. It zooms us out. Like sometimes our problems, you know, that we get so fixated on, we can't see anything else. All we can see is the problem. But when we get to praise God, what happens is we magnify God, and in magnifying God, our problem gets smaller and smaller. And when I can begin to praise God, and when I zoom out from my problems, then I can begin to see all the things that I'm thankful for. The musicians can come now. When Job's life was falling apart, he still found reasons to praise God. In Job 10, He says, I'm going to praise God because he is good and loving. Has God been good to you? Then you got a reason to praise God. Does he love you? Yes. He says, he loves us, for God so loved the world. He loves us. We've got a reason to praise God. In Job 42, he says, I'm going to praise him. Why? Because he's all powerful. It doesn't matter what you're going through. God is still all powerful. He still deserves the praise. Then Job realizes in Job 23 verse 10 and Job 31 verse 4, he says, I'm going to praise God. Why? Because he notices and he knows every detail in my life. That alone is reason enough to praise God. Because God knows where I'm at. He knows the path that I take. In Job 34 verse 13, Job says, life is tough. It feels like everything is falling apart. He says, but I'm going to praise God because he's still in control. And maybe somebody needs to hear that today. Life might seem like it's out of control, but I want to tell you today, God is still in control. He's still in control, and you still got a reason to praise God. Job 23, verse 14, Job says, I'm going to praise him because he's got a plan for my life. Job 19, verse 25 says, I'm going to praise him because he will save me. You see, in everything that Job went through, he still found a reason to praise God. I want to tell you, you've got reason to praise God. You've got a reason to praise God. It's time to praise the Lord. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, if you're sick and tired of all you can see is all your problems, I want to tell you, it's time to zoom out by praising God. It's time to lift up your voice, to lift up your worship, to lift up your hands. It's time to get back into the presence of God through praise and worship. In the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has perfected praise. It's so simple that even a child can do it. You can get the victory through praise and worship. You know, for a long time, scientists wondered where rain came from. Rain, where? How on earth does water just fall out of heaven? Well, long before scientists told us where rain came from, Job, the book of Job told us where the rain comes from. Job 36 verse 26 says, behold, God is great and we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. Look at this. For he maketh small drops of water. Everyone say rain. For he maketh small drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. So the amount of rain, the Bible told us this before scientists did, the amount of rain that falls is relative to the amount of vapor that goes up. Then it says this in verse 27, for he maketh small drops of water, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop. Eventually it gets a point where there's so much weight and so much water that the clouds burst and distill upon man abundantly. And then as I was reading, I saw this scripture. There's an amazing correlation here. It says, first of all, understanding the principle that what comes down is relative to what goes up. Then Job says this, also, can any understand the spreadings of the clouds or the noise of the tabernacle? Two amazing things in one verse. Hang on. How on earth does Job link up the spreading of the clouds and the noise of the tabernacle? The spreading of the clouds and the noise of the tabernacle. What is the noise of the tabernacle? The tabernacle was all about praise and worship. David's tabernacle was about instruments and praise and worship and all those things. That's what the noise of the tabernacle was. Clouds are formed when the vapor of praise and worship goes up. And you know what we need to live? We need the rain. We need the rain to live. And so if you need a revival in your life, if you need restoration, and haven't we seen it? This time last year, we were in a drought. I went out to a farm just recently, and now the grass is up to my waist. Grass, green everywhere. Why? Because the rain. And maybe some of you are in a drought. Maybe you need revival. Let me tell you, when you begin to send up a praise, when there begins to be a noise in the tabernacle, when we begin to praise God, the clouds begin to form. And then can come the abundance of rain. You see, the sun shines down. It hits the bodies of water, and the water turns to vapor and ascends up to heaven. The water condenses and gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And eventually the rain pours out. I want to tell you, praise and worship is all about rain. It's about sending up a vapor. You know, sometimes we think praise and worship is a little sing-song before the preaching. No, praise and worship is about God coming in, His presence coming in, about the rain of the Holy Spirit coming in as we praise and send up a vapor. Let's all stand in this place. Praise and worship is about rain. Zechariah 14 verse 17 says this. Look at this. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship. It says those that don't worship the King, the Lord of hosts. What does it say? Even upon them shall be no rain. If you don't worship, no rain. If you don't praise, no rain. If you don't go up to worship, there's no clouds, there's no vapor, there's no rain. No worship, no rain. And rain all through the Bible represents a refreshing, it represents revival, and rain is exactly what we need today, church. Rain is what you need in your life right now. And how do you get it? By offering up a vapor of praise and worship to God. There are 9 expressions of worship in the Bible. These vapors. Number one, it's what's with our mouth. Everyone say my mouth. We speak His praise. Then it talks about singing His praise. Then it talks about shouting His praise. We do it all with our mouth. Sing, speak, shout. And then it speaks about praising God with our hands. You might look around and see people lifting their hands. They're worshiping God. Then you see people clapping their hands. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God. We praise God by clapping our hands. And then you see these guys up here playing their instruments. What are they playing the instruments with? Their hands. Hands are instruments of praise and worship. And then we praise Him with our body. The Bible says, Psalm 95 verse 6, come and let us bow down to worship. Let us kneel. So bowing and kneeling is something we do with our body. Standing, my flesh trembles in fear of You. I stand in awe of You, God. Standing in worship. Then David says in Psalm 149, let them that praise His name with dancing. We can dance, we dance. That is a form of praise. These are all, these 9 ways, 9 expressions of worship. But the most important thing is that our praise and worship sends up a vapor to God. And the clouds begin to form. And Job said, how is it that the spreading of the clouds is linked to the noise of the tabernacle? Right now in this place, we need to begin to praise God. I know you say, I'm not the emotional type. Maybe you're not a really loud singer, but maybe you can just begin to speak words of praise to God. Maybe you're not a dancer, but maybe you can just tap your foot and just praise God. He's worthy of the praise, church. I've come to tell somebody, it's time to praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands all across this place just for a moment. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody, offer up a praise to God. Hallelujah, Lord, let there be the gathering of the clouds, the spreading of the clouds, as we send up a vapor to You in praise and worship, oh God. We give You all the praise and all the glory, Lord God. Come on, church, lift your voice. Lift your voice.